Good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome in to Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm going to take off from the top of my rundown. I almost read this, Monday, May 11th, and I'm going to guarantee you something. As long as I'm here, Mike Parsons, I will never let us repeat a Monday 2 days in a row.
You know what? Someone's got to fact check me, so good job.
You're so good. I just look down and read what you say on these little notes, and I went, wait a minute, this can't be another Monday, because we just had one yesterday. So anyway, happy Tuesday, the 12th day of May. We've got Relentless Positive Radio. I'm watching the news right at the before coming on. I always do. And I was going to ask, how is it that this suspected shooter, and they know it's him, they've got him on video, this guy that opened fire near Harvard was at, I think, yesterday. Going back to 2021, he is a repeat felon. In fact, here's what it says from Boston 25 News. Despite a recommendation from the district attorney for a 10 to 12-year prison sentence, a Suffolk Superior Court judge handed down only 5 to 6 years without thinking or checking or caring that because that sentence was served at the same time as his probation violation, he was released back into the community after a very short period of time. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again until people pay attention. Judges should be held accountable in circumstances and situations like this. I'm not talking about if a judge trying to do good work makes a mistake. I'm talking about when a judge faces somebody who has multiple, they're a career felon violator, and they have them in court, they should put them away or be responsible for not doing that. It's the only way we're going to get this done.
Kind of like the red flag law or the safe storage laws, where if, you know, someone takes a gun that you did not properly secure and hurt somebody, if you didn't hand down the appropriate sentence, that person gets out and hurts somebody, that there should be legal repercussions.
Absolutely. I'm all for gun ownership, but I'm also all for responsible gun ownership, and I'm also for training. But no one, you know, the gun people won't go for that. But I think anybody who's got a gun should be trained.
Absolutely.
I mean, you don't give people a car and say, go ahead, go drive. You get training.
Right.
You get tested. You get driver's ed. You get all of that. And cars can be just another form of weaponry, as we found. All right. I'm telling you this. You can tell me I'm wrong. I think the announcers for the Pistons-Cavaliers games are so biased, favoring Cleveland, it makes me sick. Does anyone else feel that way?
I haven't noticed one way or another, but everything else seems to be favoring Cleveland right now, so I'm going to lean to your side.
I'm just saying, I don't know what will happen from this point on, but when Cleveland goes down and scores or misses, the excitement level, yes, it's big in the auditorium there in Cleveland, but it spills over to the announcers, who should be professionals and know not to do that. But I'm telling you, it's just been, to me, overwhelmingly bad.
They got to give us Tirico on these calls. I was excited for these games to be on NBC because Tirico calls games for them. But
and he's so great. But these guys that are doing it are not Mike Tirico by even in their wildest dreams. They're
right.
Not Mike Tirico. Anyway, the Cleveland Cavaliers started the second half last night's game on a 22-zip run. They looked like the Pistons coming out in the second half.
Right.
But they weren't.
It's like the reverse of what happened against Miami when the Pistons went on all those giant runs.
And somebody upset James Harden, and he has been on fire now. Have you noticed? I mean, he's like, he's what is he, 72 years old? He's been around forever.
He's been around for more than 15 years. Yeah, he's been around a while.
Cleveland is unbeaten at home this year in the playoffs. But they are winless on the road. So when do they go back on the road? Now or not?
Yeah, next tomorrow night's game is going to be back at LCA. So
okay.
if if both teams just keep trading off home wins, then Pistons will win in seven because they've got home court advantage, which it might come down to that. Hopefully they get it done in six.
I hope the Pistons that showed up the first two games shows up.
Me too.
Because these were not the same Pistons.
Yeah, and I mean, it's sad when your backup guard has the most points on your team. No disrespect to Caris LeVert. Obviously, he's a decent bench player, but when he outscores your superstars, your Cade Cunninghams, your Tobias Harris's, your Jalen Duren's, Duren's been MIA offensively all playoffs, that's an issue.
Here's hoping. You can, by the way, the team, you hear Mike Parsons, or you could actually see him if you're doing the Facebook and YouTube pages live, because they're live streaming right now. Mike Parsons, our executive producer, that woman on my left, if you're watching this, Danielle Mason, the queen of the switches, and Rich Luzinski, you can never see. He is, well, actually, I saw him bend over and talk to Danielle, that was Rich a moment ago, wasn't it?
It was, yes.
I just saw the corner of my eye. But Rich Luzinski with our WJR traffic and weather first. And
you can't always see Rich, but he's always with us.
He's always with us in our heart. Relentless positive radio is what we're doing. And it's not easy when we have to talk about, for example, the same violent mob in front of New York City synagogues 2 weeks in a row, protesting Jews. And being Jewish and protesting Israel and for Israel's right to exist, they say it shouldn't. And the mayor, Mamdani, is getting exactly what he said he would give us through his actions and beliefs. And if you live in New York, I feel very sorry for you. How about the mayor in Arcadia, California?
What a wild story.
Admitting that she's a Chinese spy. And she got elected mayor. You think that's the only one? I'm sorry, my friends.
I was going to say, if you're a Chinese operative, why go after being the mayor of a small town in California? Why wouldn't you go after something bigger?
There's way more to the story. And especially since they told her, the Chinese who control her, they told her to admit it. And to say, yes, I've been a spy.
Bold
There's
strategy.
Way more to the story. And as far, is that Ann Thomas behind you guys?
Yep, just making sure.
The famous Ann Thomas, she's doing the Thomas dance. People don't get to see that ever. I feel very special. I hope that you're watching Facebook, YouTube pages live.
Otherwise, the famous Thomas dance all the kids are talking about.
Yeah, otherwise we'll just describe it. She looks beautiful as always. She is our fearless leader and does a tremendous job. Thank you, Annie. Thanks for coming in. Is she here to yell at us about anything? She never yells.
You're in big trouble. You are in big trouble.
Sure I am. So on Fox News, they actually said this with a straight face. There are Chinese spies among us. Well, I would hope there are American spies among them, but I must tell you that's much less likely. Why? Because we are America, and we welcome everyone who's here legally. They are China, and they don't welcome anyone, legally or illegally. And for as long as I can remember on this radio station, about 50 years on this radio station, counting my 30-ish for the morning, I have talked to senators and people who go to China who would tell me, even way back then, they couldn't take their own laptop computers or their own cell phones because they knew as they arrived in China, they were being read by the Chinese government.
Wow.
Stolen information. And they have been stealing our intellectual property with blessings of the Chinese government forever. They've been buying farmland strategically placed where we don't want them to be forever. And my biggest fear is as our president of the United States goes to China to meet with Xi, I can't turn this into a drinking game, but I can turn it into a fear game, and that is, the moment the president says, oh, Xi loves me, we are doomed. Because Xi is not going to love President Trump or anything about America except our demise. And if you can't get that straight in your head, you're in big trouble. Now, we have a guy who loves China, follows China. You and I will talk about having him on. after the show. He and I don't see eye to eye on China, but he's been there a million times. I've only been there three or four times, and we just have different views. Last night, big night. Thanks to Art and Mary Ashley and the Simone Vitale Band. It was a big annual party, I think birthday party, for Candace Miller, Macomb County Public Works Commissioner, at the Plaza, the Palazzo Grande or Grand in Shelby Township. They do a great job. I want to make it clear, I don't pay to go to political parties or events. I was a guest of Art and Mary Ashley, and I thank them for that. But I learned a long time ago you don't pay to do things like that. It just doesn't look good for a talk show who, you know where I stand, but I am fair with every guest we have on, every guest that we can get on. I will always do my best to be fair. Happy wedding anniversary to Mark and Debbie Snefkamp. Mark Snefkamp was there last night. I saw him. Got to give him a quick hug. But anyway, we're underway on this Tuesday, May 12th, Focus with Paul W. Smith at WJR. Well, he's doing double duty, and he's just that good at this sort of thing. This morning, in for Chris Renwick, Jason Rowe once again. He's a principal of Rowe Strategic, and now he takes off his hosting hat to be a fine guest. And we're going to talk about President Trump's trip to China, which is starting today, matter of fact. Jason, nice to have you back. Did you enjoy, other than the hours, that's like saying, how did you enjoy? No, never mind. Other than the hours, how'd it go this morning?
Oh, I had fun, Paul W. I get up at 4 in the morning anyway, but
wow.
I took a shower a little earlier at this time. But no, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed being with Lloyd, and he saved me every time I ran. I got above my depth. He tapped in to save me.
Well, Lloyd's a great guy. That's a great team, and you're lucky to be a part of it. So can I ask, have you always gotten up at 4 in the morning, or is this something special the cool guys are doing now?
No, I've always been a morning person. I can't keep my eyes open past 10 o'clock usually, but I like getting up in the morning. No one tends to bother you between 4 and 8 a.m., and I get a lot done. And that's by what, 9 o'clock, most of my thinking work is done, and then I can go screw around.
That's what my Kim tells me. She's a very early riser, too. The funny thing is, you say by 10 o'clock you can't keep your eyes open. About 10 o'clock at night, my eyes get as big as they're going to be all day long. And then I'm up till 1 or 2. I've always
done that.
Nothing
good happens after the streetlights come on, Paul W.
That's what Mom and Dad used to say, and similar to what Bo Schembechler used to say. Meanwhile, am I wrong in saying I'll be very frightened if President Trump at any time says, wow, she loves me. We get along great. He loves me.
I would be surprised if he doesn't say that. That's kind of, you know, how he approaches these things. I mean, it is going to be interesting. You know, we have the oligarch world tour in tow. But I think it underscores what is the importance of the relationship between the United States and China, and that's commerce. Obviously, there's a lot of saber rattling over Taiwan and, you know, the various influences that each country has in their respective hemispheres. But, you know, at the bottom of all of this, whether it is the espionage or the proxy, you know, battles in different countries, everything comes back to the economics of our economy and their economy and where we, how we coexist. Obviously they are the dominant power in Asia and we are the dominant power, not just in the Americas, but in the West, which includes Europe. And so, you know, we've kind of manufactured this rivalry and frankly, we've accelerated it. Back in 2000 and 2001, you know, we pushed to allow them to join the World Trade Organization. We extended permanent normal trade relations to them. And that was in part so that, you know, U.S. companies could go get cheap labor for manufacturing. And, you know, I didn't agree with that policy when it happened 25 years ago. And I think it's borne out to be a problem because we've eroded our manufacturing base in this country. And we've empowered our biggest economic rival with a huge population that we have to contend with. And, you know, we find ourselves kind of involved in this jousting with China over just about everything that happens on the global stage as a result.
They have never stopped stealing our intellectual property with blessings of the government. We just found the mayor in Arcadia, California, admitting that she's a Chinese spy, which means there are 1,000 behind her. And I just don't get it. Now we have 16 chief executives of major U.S. companies. You're looking at Elon Musk. You're looking at Tim Cook, still of Apple. And I've talked far more successful business people than me, people who would turn to me and ask me after several trips to Beijing and Shanghai for the auto shows over the several years, about opening a plant in China, and I've talked every one of them out of it because at any moment, depending if you're doing really well, China would think nothing of nationalizing your company and taking it over. And I don't know how anyone could think they still wouldn't do that.
Well, not only that, I mean, you have to rely on some emissary between you and the government, and there's a lot of graft and bribery that is involved. I mean, it's almost impossible to do business in China as a U.S. company and not pay bribes. So it is a completely corrupt structure from top to bottom. We know this. But the benefit, I guess, of the cheap manufacturing is worth the bribes and corruption that U.S. companies have to involve themselves in order to get that cheap labor. I mean, I think one of the, advantages of the Trump tariff policy is that we reshore a lot of the manufacturing that we've exported to low-wage countries. Because we have, in many ways undermined our middle class for, those folks that aren't necessarily, pursuing college degrees, that work with their hands to provide a good quality of life in our country. Now you're seeing a resurgence. I mean, you're seeing a lot more layoffs in the white collar space, and you're seeing a lot of opportunities in the skilled trades and with AI changing what our economy looks like for the long term. We are going to see a lot more people here in the United States working with their hands. So I think that is one of the benefits of these tariffs, is bringing this manufacturing back to our country and not relying on foreign countries. And one of the things that's an objective of President Trump's visit and, some of the leaders that are business leaders in tow with him is the chip situation. China is one of the largest manufacturers of the semiconductor chips that many of our technologies and our automobiles and our appliances rely on. And between that and rare earths, they have us over a barrel. And it's one of the things that keeps us probably on better terms with them than we should be.
So in a nutshell, Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, tell me what should or could come out of this meeting that should make us feel good or hopeful. Anything?
There's some speculation that maybe we are going to create a G2 type alliance. I just don't know that China is going to enter into any kind of alliance or agreement with us that doesn't involve them trying to take advantage of us. I don't think that we are quite as clever at exploiting the trust of our partners as the Chinese are. And when you look at the overt espionage, like you mentioned, the mayor of Arcadia and so many other examples around the country, the spying that we're finding from students at the University of Michigan. It's rampant. You've got the spy balloon that everyone forgot about just 4 years ago right. That was flying over our country. These are not, this is not a country to be trusted.
Amen to that. It's unfortunately the truth. It may sting, but it is the truth. And you have to face the truth when it's important news like this. Jason Rowe, thank you for filling in this morning for Chris Renwick and being with Lloyd. And thank you for being a great guest here in Focus on WJR. We appreciate you, Jason, very much.
Thank you, Paul W. Have a great day.
You do the same. Jason Rowe, principal of Rowe Strategic, talking about the president's trip to China, which will be happening soon. I wonder if Eileen Wang, acting in the United States as an illegal spy for China and working her way up to being the mayor of a California city, I wonder if that'll come up in conversation, in polite conversation at dinner after the food testers test all of the president's food before he eats it. 1229 at WJR. My next guest, and why I haven't talked to her in so long, I just don't know. It's our fault. through the changes of going from the morning show to now the midday focus show, whatever it is, we used to so enjoy our conversations with Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy, and I am so glad that we have caught up with her again, and I can welcome her while she works on yet another very important project. Prosecutor Worthy, it is indeed a pleasure and a privilege to say good afternoon.
Well, the feeling is mutual. I'm glad to talk to you. It has been far too long.
It has been far too long, but you continue to do excellent work like you always have. And I'm just wondering, it could help all of us if you, how do you stay positive in view of so many of the negative things you have to view in your job?
You focus on the result, and you focus on really trying to bring some justice and some accountability to the defendant and justice to the survivor or the victims. And so that has to be the focus and not everything in between. Now, obviously, we focus on our cases and we focus on our relationships with our victims and survivors, but we have the responsibility as prosecutors to represent all the people of the state of Michigan and not just the victims and survivors, but for the defendants as well. And that may sound funny, but we do have that responsibility. So focus on the closure, I hate that word, but that's the only one I can think of, and the justice you want to bring to your individual victims and survivors, and that's how we do it.
Madam Prosecutor, we had a story earlier about a career felon who opened fire near Harvard in the last day or so. I have said this before, I'm going to say it again, I hope it doesn't make me sound nuts, but honestly, two things. How does that make you, as a prosecutor who works hard to get these felons in front of judges? But I think that the judges need to be held accountable. I don't mean if they make a simple mistake that anyone can make, but I'm saying when you have a felon from 2021 breaking so many laws and you still let them get out in a couple of years time in prison, shouldn't there be some responsibility held?
Well, I can't speak to individual cases, especially ones not in my county, let alone people outside the state. But what I can say is that we need to hold everybody in the criminal justice system responsible, prosecutors, defense attorneys, judges, police officers, everyone. And so that comes with maybe getting to the root of the problem that you just discussed. So not just the judges, but certainly they need to be held accountable. And sometimes they aren't, and sometimes they are. But everybody that's a cog in the wheel of the criminal justice system.
We haven't talked about this in a long time, but I, again, give you great credit for what you did. And this is so long ago, some people might not remember it. I hope they'll Google it and see, on the rape kits that were stuck in dusty corners and on back shelves and ignored. You brought those to light, and you brought rapists to justice. That was the last really big thing that got a lot of national attention, and I salute you for that. What you're doing now is extremely important as well, and that is gun safety and keeping our children alive, because all the statistics indicate that these unsafely stored guns, the Centers for Disease Control saying that firearms are the leading cause of death for children, including here in Michigan, and more so than car accidents. And now this is in your sights and you're going after it.
Yes, since 2002. And before that, it was always the car accidents, right? And we can imagine that because we have a big country and a big state, and accidents happen all the time. And people, unfortunately, get killed in car accidents. But now, gun violence against children, firearms actually remain the number one cause of death for children in the United States and Michigan, as you said. And that is scary. And I think we've actually discussed this with you in the past, because I remember in 2015 we had several conversations about gun safety even back then.
Sure.
And we identified at that time, before anyone else in the state did, that one of the biggest issues is lawful gun owners safely storing their guns, or unsafely storing their guns. And this is not a partisan issue. It's not Democrat, Republican, Independent. It's not a Second Amendment issue. It's a child safety issue. It's a health issue. I don't think any one of your listeners, and certainly you and I, we don't want any child to be killed. We don't want any child to be hurt. We don't want anybody to be hurt or killed. But these particular deaths are completely preventable, absolutely and completely preventable, if lawful gun owners that have children coming into their homes or going into their cars just take a few minutes every day to safely secure their weapons. And we could save the lives of these 39 children we have lost or either been seriously injured since the year 2000. 39. And a number of those children were killed. Most of them were killed. A lot of them were seriously injured. And so they could be with us here today if the gun owners have taken that time, just a few minutes, to safely store their guns.
It's been years. You're right. We did talk about it years ago. And the things that you have found and still find, these unsafely stored guns, my God, in cribs, on kitchen tables, on couches, on couch tables, kitchen counters, pockets where the butt is sticking out of the jacket, everywhere you can think of, in places you couldn't imagine, people keep loaded guns.
Yes, and you know it has shown, the studies have also shown that 91% of these weapons that have been kept loaded in homes where children come. Now, if you don't have any children coming into your homes, I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about the person that does attempt to safely store their gun. I'm talking about the places, the open spaces and places, even where in rooms where children play on a daily basis, where these gun owners have left their guns loaded, because whenever a child sees a gun, and it doesn't matter where they're from, it doesn't matter how much money they have, where they're from, who they are, who their parents are, they are going to pick up that gun, they're going to look at it, they're going to point it, they're going to play with it, and they're going to shoot it. Even if we think and we have told our children over and over again not to pick up a gun, that's what they're going to do. Because children have this magnetic attraction to guns for whatever reason. They are going to pick it up and play with it. And that's why it's necessary for the adults in the room, literally, to make sure that their gun is safely stored.
I'm just reading that you and Mayor Mary Sheffield, who are obviously of one mind on this, that you have applied for and won a grant to do a new audio campaign, which we will hear on radio and online. I would like to, we haven't talked about this because you and I haven't talked in a long while, but I would like to donate my services if you need somebody to voice that campaign. No charge. It would be my pleasure to donate my services to help you with that if you need any help with it. So,
well, you know, the spots are already cut, but let me tell you, I will let the advertising folks that we have hired know that, and I'm sure that they would jump at that chance as well.
All right, if there comes a time then they're going to redo them, I'd be more than happy to offer my professional assistance any way that I can. In virtually anything that you do, Kim Worthy, because I know that my investment of my time and talent is well worth it if you're involved. And that's how strongly I feel about you and always have.
Well, I appreciate that. And you recall, maybe your listeners don't recall, but you were among the first that came and helped me out when I wanted to have a town hall at Greater Grace Temple. You came, you offered your services, you publicized it, you made sure that we had, I think, 3,500 people there. And that was one of the first things I did when I came into office as the elected prosecutor in 2004, and I will never, never forget that.
Well, God bless you for remembering it. I was trying to, honestly, and I'm trying to be honest as much as I can, I was trying to think of what we had worked on together many years ago, and I couldn't remember, but now you've reminded me, and thank you for that.
Yep.
Are you being funded properly? Are you okay?
I'm okay. I have a CEO that's very supportive and understanding. You know, he came from the criminal justice field. I have a Wayne County Commission that is very supportive of this office. So we're doing okay. We still need more staff. We still need a lot more things, but we are getting better and better every budget season. So I'm very happy with the way things are progressing, and I go to them regularly and let them know what we need to keep this community safer, and they're always willing to listen.
God bless you for the work that you have done and that you continue to do. Kim Worthy, Wayne County Prosecutor, I promise you it will not be this long again before we talk to you again.
It's a deal.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. All
right. We continue In Focus with Paul W. Smith on WJR. The most in-demand expert I can think of these days, and for good reason, he's good. He's the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, Patrick DeHaan, and all of us are paying attention to the price of gas because most of us get out and pump that thing, and we watch the thing go up and up and up and go, wow, that's expensive. Nice to have you here, Patrick. The only thing I've heard recently was, like, the Energy Department guy, whoever it is, said they'd be willing to consider cutting the federal tax. That's like only 18 cents, isn't it?
Yeah, 18.4 cents, Paul, and 23.4 on diesel. You know, and boy, 18 cents a gallon now with prices in Michigan. By the way, prices across the state jumped back up to $4.99 just a couple of hours ago. So while you're on air, Michigan's prices are in the process of jumping back up to that $4.99 mark. $4.99, 18 cents is not something that I get real excited about. It's something, but it's, you know, prices are still $1.65 a gallon more than a year ago.
Yeah, I don't remember. Back in the Biden days when we got to $5 or even higher, it's somewhere I saw diesel at $6-something. But were we as upset back then as we are now? Was the media all over it the same way? I can't honestly can't remember.
You know, it was pretty close to it. It wasn't as active. It was, you know, the Russia invasion of Ukraine. That tapered off, and then the economy reopened. And that's really what caused kind of the second wave of record-setting prices was, I think it was April of 2022 when the federal mask mandate was rescinded. Every state went in compliance. Everything fully reopened. And everyone, you know, 2 years after being parked, we didn't care that gas was going to hit $5. We didn't really care about Russia's invasion of Ukraine because the economy reopened. So there was a huge surge in demand, which, yes, led to record prices. Michigan, by the way, coming to diesel, $5.99 a gallon is the current average. And for the first time ever, it is starting to hit $6. So this is the highest we've seen it. Back in 2022, the diesel price peaked in Michigan about $5.96 a gallon, and now we're above $6.
I'm wondering, off the top of your head, can you say which state has the highest gas prices and which state has the lowest? And I thought I read somewhere recently that Michigan is at the higher scale.
Yeah, Michigan is right now the ninth most expensive state at $4.70 a gallon. And as I mentioned, because of some of the issues, the jump in price today, $4.99 is what a lot of stations are raising prices to. So we may see Michigan jump in that. Ninth most expensive right now for gasoline. And for diesel, Michigan, the eighth most expensive state at $5.98. A lot of this having to do with refining issues. Several refineries in the region have had unexpected outages, and combined with maintenance, that's put a big squeeze on supplies. But that should improve here. At least the refining side of the situation should improve. That's not going to give us much relief, and ultimately, the longer the strait remains closed, the more potential that gasoline could also set new records following along with diesel.
Patrick DeHaan, he's the best. He's the head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy. You see and hear him everywhere, and we thank you again for helping us out. Thanks, Patrick.
Appreciate it, Paul.
We continue on WJR. Well, you know, it's interesting after speaking with our Gas Buddy there about fuel prices, and they're up and they hurt, all of that. We understand that. We experience that, as Patrick DeHaan has been with us all along. But I do see, just coming over on one of my, that AAA, love AAA, predicts record holiday travel despite the gas prices. It says, despite higher pain at the pump, with gas prices hitting their highest levels since the Biden days in 2022, AAA experts say Americans are refusing to cancel their summer kickoff plans, which I think is an excellent thing to hear.
Yeah, I mean, when my wife and I went out of town a couple weeks ago, gas was right around $5 a gallon. But, hey, we had plans. It's something that we have to deal with, so you just deal with it.
And you had a good time.
Yeah.
You went to the Holland Tulip Festival.
And Paul, I can't remember the last time I actually filled my tank up all the way. I'm one of those, I'm going to put $10 in, I'm going to put $15 in. And gas is still as expensive, but I don't think it's as painful as filling up your tank and seeing it being like $20 more than it normally is.
Yeah, I don't drive that much anymore, as much as I used to. But I always filled my tank up. It's kind of I have an issue. I have a problem. It's not a problem to me. It's right. A problem to other people. And I say, you know, you're down to a quarter tank. Aren't you going to get some gas?
Yeah. My and wife does the same thing. If it's under a quarter tank, she wants to fill it up as well.
Well, it's just the way it is. Yeah. It's kind of like my phone. You know, if I'm charging my phone and somebody says, do you mind? Could I use your charger? What are you at? And I go, 91. They go, what? And you're charging your phone at 91? I'm down to 5%. I go, well, tell somebody who cares. No, I don't.
Here's a quarter. Use a payphone and call someone who cares because you can't on your phone because it's dead.
A, first of all, are there payphones? And B, are they really just a quarter?
Actually, I think both the answer to both of that is no. I can't remember the last time I've seen an actual working pay. Sometimes you'll see like the hollowed out shell of the casing.
Yeah.
It's like, yes. And it's like, wait, am I at the Henry Ford? What is this relic?
Right. This is funny because it made me think of stamps and a picture. I should look at some of the other stuff because it was good stuff. But she said, look at these Ralph Lauren stamps. She says, they're beautiful. I can't wait till they come out. I said, do not buy any new stamps. I bought so many.
Forever stamps?
Yeah, forever stamps that I should be being able to use them forever.
Yeah. It's funny, Paul, because I had to write a check because I owed someone money, and you can't just Venmo, large sums of money and whatnot. And I said to my wife, I said, I think these checks are going to last me for the rest of my life because I can't remember the last time I used a check before then.
I don't use paper checks that often either, but I have not yet made that gloomy prediction that these are all the checks I'll ever use the rest of my life.
I reckon my time is coming to an end.
I'm not gonna get into that. It is with a shout out to Mackinac Island. It is National Nutty Fudge Day.
Snuck up on me this year.
Yeah, I don't remember that one at all. It is National Limerick. Not one limerick I have memorized that I could actually tell on the radio.
Right. Now, limericks.
A man named Chuck. No, but I can't. I mean,
there was a man from Nantucket, and I can't say the rest.
We can't do that. I don't know. Danielle, do you even know what a limerick is? Do people use limericks anymore?
No.
I didn't think so.
I mean, no. Maybe Rich, but he's different.
Well, he's a very creative guy, so yeah.
Right. They're not as frustrating as haikus, though. Haikus are very...
Haikus? What the heck? I never could understand those.
Yeah. They're very rigid with their syllable counts.
Yeah. Here's the note from my Kim about... I love all 12 of the stamp designs from Ralph Lauren. They go on sale on our anniversary, June 9th. Oh, boy.
Okay. That's subtle.
Yeah. I'll get some for us, and we can celebrate both ours and our great country's anniversary. Now, how do I fight that?
Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Can you just get...
A couple. Get a couple.
Yeah, pay for like one of each.
You don't have to get a sheet of each one.
Right.
And I suggest we not because, well, to follow what you said, we have enough anytime stamps to last maybe for the rest of our lives.
Right.
So, anyway, Mike Parsons, our executive producer and now host of his own special show, Monday nights at 8 o'clock. Danielle Mason, the queen of the switches, running the controls. Rich Luzinski with our WJR traffic and weather first to keeping track of it. You can stream us, podcast us, WJR.com. Come back to the show if you can't be here noon to 2. And for goodness sakes, with all the apps you have, I hope you have the free WJR app. And right now, Facebook and YouTube are streaming us live on their pages. World Cup is coming, and we have the best expert ever. He started on with J.P. McCarthy. I started using him many years ago, too, when I was doing the morning show. And since this is the World Cup year, we will have on the one and only Roger Faulkner. And I just remembered you asked me to text you his info, and I'll do that after the show. He's got a brand-new book that I'm so happy that he sent me called You Can't Get There From Here. And for those who don't remember, because it was a long time ago, he is the expert, and he had a hand on bringing world-class World Cup soccer to our area. So I'm sure he has lots to share with us, and we'll look forward to that. Mark and Debbie Snethkamp, dear friends, celebrating their anniversary today, their wedding anniversary. And I saw Mark last night. Annual Candace Miller, the Macomb County Public Works Commissioner. She's always so kind to me, and she points me out to the crowd. It was a crowd of notables, that's for sure. I don't pay to go to anything that's remotely political, but Art and Mary Ashley always invite me, and I'm very appreciative that they do that. And I got to see my old friend Simone Vitale and the Simone Vitale Band. He used to play at my golf outing every year, so it was just great to catch up with him. He's one of the greatest band leaders in the country, and has been for a very, very long time. We were at the Palazzo Grande, Shelby Township, celebrating. You know, there were a lot of people, a lot of political people. It's Democrats and Republicans, because everybody loves Candace Miller, and why not?
They really do. I mean, she just, you know, just knowing
she's
her
worth
over the
loving.
Years. Yeah, she is very good friends with Democrats and Republicans.
She is, and that's smart of them to be friends with her, because they know she's very straight and very good at what she does, whatever she does. A lot of people wanted her to run for governor a long time ago, and she said, thanks, but no thanks. And, I mean, you can't blame her. Look at the world we're in right now. We just get the mayor in Arcadia, California, gets busted. I don't even know if she's busted. I don't know if she's arrested. Do you know if she's arrested?
Yeah,
she's,
I don't know.
Kind of, I think she's admitted she's a Chinese spy.
All I know is she stepped down, and maybe we'll try to get one of our FBI guys on to
yeah,
talk.
See what the story is.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is a, it's a wild story.
As the president is on his way to China, and I doubt very much he's going to be able to stop them from stealing our intellectual property. They do it with the blessings of the government, and have, since I went there four or five times, Beijing and Shanghai, over the years, I never like to say never, but I don't think I'll ever go back to China, because I don't think I'll ever have to, and I'm not anxious to. I'd love to go back to Tokyo. Now, there's a wonderful place, Tokyo. They've got their act together, from what I can tell, at least, and that's a place I'd like to go back to and take the family if I could. Anyway, are we all set? We're rolling. We covered most of the things. My daughter is pleading with me to get a shingles shot.
Yeah, that's smart.
Anyone over 50, she says, should be getting a shingles vaccine, and I'm just barely over 50. It is 1:14 at 760 WJR. I sort of got, honestly, I want to make sure I heard this right. Mike, did I just hear a guy in a commercial say, now I pee like a fire hose? Did I really hear that?
I think he said garden hose.
Oh, what difference does it make? I pee like a garden hose. Well,
and he's very happy about it.
Yeah, he seemed extremely happy. And if you would have asked me some 50 years ago when I first started having an association with WJR, if that line would ever make it on the air, I would have bet, well, $100,000, because that was like a million or a billion today. I would have bet $100,000 that line would never show up on WJR. And now look what we hear. Anyway, okay. I mean, it's a new day. I understand that. Thank you to Gary Corbin for sending me a thing from a Costco Kirkland Aller Tech. He said it's great for allergies. Okay, I appreciate the help. I have a couple of things here. I just have to take them. Sometimes I can, this is going to sound weird, sometimes I get one of these medicines, I put it in my pocket, and the problem goes away, and I never have to. Oh, it sounds weird. I'm just telling you the truth. The truth is, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Last night I told you I was at that special, wonderful annual birthday party, because I was invited by Art and Mary Ashley to Candace Miller, Macomb County Public Works Commissioner's annual birthday party. And I was so fortunate to run into young Mike Captain Bouchard, who's running for Congress for John James' available seat. And his mom, Pam Bouchard, was there. And it was great to see them. And now I put the triangle together, and I've got Dad on the line, Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard. You have got to be, you and Pam have got to be so proud of all your children. And it was great to see Mike. What a fine young man he is. And you must feel great.
Yes. Yeah, we're super proud of him. He's followed his own heart. You know, I wanted him to not be in the Army, and he's been in the Army 10 years and been in combat. And then I said, stay away from politics and police work. Have a more peaceful, comfortable life. And so here we are. But, you know, he's doing it for the right reason. So we're super proud.
There's a front page story under the fold in the great the Detroit News, serving Michigan since 1873, DetroitNews.com. And it says, Dads, Donors, Fuel, Bouchard Campaign, Support of Lifelong Friends, The Nature of the Game, Republican says. Hey, look it, I watched people coming up to young Michael Bouchard, running for Congress in the 10th District last night. They're seeking him out. He doesn't have to seek them out, and they're doing that because they have such high regard for their dad, Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard, for mom, Pam Bouchard, and for this young man that they watched grow up and have known what a great young man he is, so they'd love to see him in Congress. That's what that's all about, if I can add.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. You know, it said that I was working on his campaign while he's deployed in the combat zone. Yeah, I was, because he decided he wanted to run, again, over my advice, to find a better life, find an easier life. So he's deployed in the combat zone. You know, newsflash, you can't do politics while you're trying to defend the country and you know, do the things he was doing, winning a Bronze Star in combat. So, yes, I was spading the ground for him like a father would that supports their children and whatever their choice is. And I'm proud to do it and happy about it.
Good for you. And I support you in every way as the proud father I've always known you to be and the good husband I've known you to be and the good parents that you and Pam are. All right, let's talk about what we were scheduled to talk about. And that's, of course, that broken 42-inch water main at Auburn Hills. It has been replaced, but apparently the work is still leaving northern Oakland County under a state of emergency. What's the Lakes Water Authority? I understand that. But what's the latest you can tell us?
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we were busy and we've been busy for the last 3-4 days. Our substation and all a number of our substations have been dramatically affected by this, which is part of the reason I couldn't join you and Candace. So basically the bottom line is this: yes, the new chunk of pipe is in, but they've got a lot of work yet to do. They've got to undo their workarounds that was providing water and trying to keep emergency water going, primarily the Orion Township and the village, in addition to northern Auburn Hills. But you also are going to have a boil advisory in place for a while, because when you have a break and pressure drops in the system and things change, bacteria can flow in and then get pushed back into the line and into the system. So even though you're getting water through the pipes, you've got to make sure that if you're in those areas, so check with whatever community in. We police Rochester Hills. Part of it's under a boil advisory, some is not. Orion Township and Orion Village is obviously, they have different restrictions because they're heavily impacted. They've actually been the most negatively impacted by this break. And then also pay attention to your individual communities of what steps are going on. But to your point, they've done some great work. They've got the pipe in. They're going to be testing it. They're going to undo the emergency things as the power and pressure comes back online. Water distribution's in place. We've got it staffed with deputies and other volunteers. Orion Township Supervisor Barnett has been working hard and doing a great job. They've got a sign-up sheet for volunteers. There's water distribution points that you can get water for free from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. So, you know, again, check your local community, and it's got the distribution points. So the good news is, you know, they are thinking it's somewhere runway to completion. And I'm being optimistic and hopeful, maybe Monday where everything is running again and you don't have to boil. But stay tuned to the websites of each community, wherever you may live, to get the specific information on that. But they're making great progress.
They ran ahead of the game, which is a blessing. But the boil water advisory is still in effect, as you point out, Sheriff, for all the communities affected, Orion Township, Rochester Hills, Auburn Hills, and Oakland Township. You know, on my morning show many years ago, L. Brooks Patterson warned us of this. However, he was talking about the infrastructure and all the underground pipes that were well over 100 years old. This is especially disheartening and worse, that this pipe that burst was supposed to last about 100 years, and it's only lasted about 50 years, 1975. So this is not a good sign.
Right, and I think they're going to pull that piece of pipe that failed and try to do an engineering and particle examination of it to make a determination what caused it to fail prematurely. And they're looking at different options of what they can do in the lines of that still exist in the authority. But obviously, infrastructure is expensive. And, you know, that's one of the things that's been overlooked, you know, for many, many years, whether it's the roads or whether it's pipes.
Out of sight, out of mind. But the roads have not been out of sight. And we were supposed to, quote, fix the damn roads. And we're still waiting, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. So it's going to be something the legislature and Congress has to come to grips with. And that goes to the bigger issue about all of the money that they were looking to stop spending on wasteful spending all across the globe and even in this country through fraud, and put it into real needs of this country, including water, sewer, roads, and people here at home.
Yeah. Hey, quick note, because we're out of time, but the Oakland County Sheriff's Office crediting its Drones as First Responders program for a man's arrest near a domestic violence shelter this week. Good job.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a great program. We've been doing it for 4 years, and it gets on scene to an emergency call and gives us real-time, life-saving information to provide our deputies with information that help bring situations to a safe conclusion. Just yesterday, we were searching for two suicidal people.
Say that again. You dropped off.
Yesterday, we were searching for two suicidal individuals.
Did you find them? It's a tool that we use regularly.
The one child that was suicidal was 13. We did find that young person and get them into treatment and health help. The other person managed to leave the county, and we forwarded the information to the county where we believe that person was. And I believe he was found, but we've been busy with the water stuff here at home, so I haven't checked back with that other county.
All right. Gotcha. Keep up the good work. Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard, best to Pam. It was great seeing her and hugging her last night. And great to see Captain Mike from the U.S. Army running for Congress in John James' available seat now. Good luck on everything, Mike.
Thank you, my friend. Have a great day.
You do the same. 129 at 760 WJR. Okay, we know already the outcome of the game last night. Cleveland Cavaliers started the second half of last night's game as if they were the Pistons coming out. 22-0 run, and they beat our Pistons 112-103. I go to one of our experts, Nick Lundberg, fine MSU grad, WJR digital sports reporter. As the Cleveland Cavaliers even up the series against the Pistons at 2-2. And I'm going to ask you right off the bat, because, you know, I'm a homer, and I don't hide that. Why would I? But to me, the announcers get so much more excited when Cleveland is doing well than they do when the Pistons are going well. Am I overreacting to that?
No, Paul, I don't think you are. I think that's kind of been the case for a long time in Detroit, and since it's been so long since the Pistons have been good, about pretty much 18 years since they've been this good. It seems like it's taking the national media a little bit more of adjustment to get used to the Pistons, you know, being back at the top. So I kind of expected a little bias towards Cleveland in the broadcast, but they were hitting their shots. They won the game, so I guess they deserve the praise.
And we were throwing the ball away, and there were a lot of things that went wrong that if the Pistons don't correct, they're going to get eliminated.
Definitely. Turnovers have been a huge, huge problem this entire series, and especially on the road, too. Last night, Cade Cunningham, 5 turnovers. He struggled with that in every game in these playoffs so far, and he didn't even have 20 points. And that's just a recipe for the Pistons, at least, for losing, especially on the road against a Cavaliers team with Donovan Mitchell, who we know can really score quickly, and we saw that in the third quarter.
He got like 39 points. He was 1 point. He tied the record, 1 point away from breaking the record. And Cade, I think, got 19 points. First time he hasn't had a 20-point game in a while.
Yeah, and the Pistons, obviously, Cade is their motor, right? They need him to score. They need him to be a facilitator. They need him to do everything, basically. And you need to rely on your teammates like Tobias Harris to make shots. And they did get some shots made from Caris LeVert. His best game as a Piston off the bench, he had 24 points, 10 for 16 shooting, but unfortunately just wasn't enough for the team. And Asar Thompson, Jalen Duren, those two, they're still kind of going through those growing pains as they're learning how, you know, these playoffs work, especially, and this is their first time in the second round. But the Pistons really, really need those two to step it up if they want any chance to win.
Yeah, Cleveland's largest lead, 21 points in the fourth quarter. We're not used to seeing that, that's for sure. So here we go. Game 5 is tomorrow night in Detroit. And clearly, our fans play a big role in their ability to win.
Definitely. And I think you could say the same for both teams. The Pistons in the first round, they struggled after those first couple games. They finally got a win in Orlando. They won Game 5 and 7 at home. The Cavs have not won a game on the road in this postseason yet. So I kind of think that trend will continue going into the rest of this series. You've got Game 5 tomorrow night at LCA. I think the Pistons will take that one. And the Pistons, at least in Game 3, played well enough to take it in Cleveland, but I'm still not sure if they have enough to really steal one on the road. So I really think this series is going to go down to 7 at LCA on Sunday, I believe.
Little Caesars Arena. It's a big one, that's for sure. Hey, apparently, according to this that I have in front of me, some of the Lions' schedule has leaked.
Yes, the whole schedule is being unveiled this week in kind of a slow, drawn-out process as the NFL likes to do it. But we do know for Week 2, Thursday night, the Lions will be playing in the first ever game at the Buffalo Bills' new stadium, Highmark Stadium, in the 2026 season. So it should be a fun one. Obviously, Thursday night, short rest week for the Lions, not great, and the Bills are going to be very hyped up considering that it's their first game in their new stadium, so it'll definitely be a good matchup to watch early on in the season.
And then we have a game in Germany somewhere along the way.
Yes, the Lions will be playing in Germany in November, and honestly, it kind of sucks that they won't be playing at home at Ford Field. It'll be cool experience that they will be on the road in Germany, especially with all the fans of Amon-Ra St. Brown. But taking away a game at Ford Field is never great. And I believe we will find out their opponent in the coming days shortly.
And I'll point out that's now an official sports terminology that Nick would use. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that sucks. But he did. And Nick Lundberg, God bless you. You're doing a great job as our WJR digital sports reporter, and I always smile when I see you on the rundown. Good job as always, Nikki.
Thank you, Paul.
We continue in focus at WJR. If you've listened to this program or my morning show for years, you heard me talk about this years ago, and I stand by it. I'm not a doctor. Yes, I used to host Minds of Medicine with a lot of very good doctors for Henry Ford Health, but I never pretended to be a doctor, but I am an observer, and through my observations, I have been against fake sweeteners for as long as I can remember. I've been against all diet pop from the beginning, and it turns out I was absolutely right when I said it was actually worse for you than regular pop. Not that regular pop is good for you, I'm just saying diet pop is worse for you. I was against all margarines. I said, if you're going to use something, use real butter, but don't use a lot of it. Everything in moderation. Now, the same thing goes for these fake sweeteners. I've been against them from the beginning, and I say either use real sugar, something that's been around for generations, or no sweetener at all. You know, we don't necessarily have to sweeten everything. Just like we don't need to put in food coloring, which people are now finding out is not so good for you, just to change the color to be more attractive, whatever it is. But listen to this one now. Common sweetener may harm critical brain barrier, risking stroke. Found in everything from protein bars to energy drinks, erythritol has long been considered a safe alternative to sugar. There is no safe alternative to sugar. Maybe honey, but I'm saying...
And that's still got sugar in it.
Right, and you don't need to sweeten everything. Research suggests this widely used sweetener may be quietly undermining one of the body's most crucial protective barriers with potentially serious consequences for heart health and stroke risk. A study from the University of Colorado suggest erythritol may damage cells in the blood-brain barrier, the brain's security system that keeps out harmful substances while letting in nutrients.
I'm going to have to check my energy bars because I have a Clif bar and a Kind bar every morning thinking it's healthy. So I'll have to check with those. And the blood-brain barrier, that's serious. I actually switched allergy medications because the only one that doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier is Allegra. All the other ones do.
That's a very good thing. You should always tell us about stuff like that when you found that out through your own experience. Good for you. I don't know why it takes a talk show host in Detroit, Michigan, to come up with these things for the last 30 years. I mean, where are the research people and the doctors? Well, here's where they are, sadly, affected by the big money that's in pharmaceuticals and in all these areas. It's just the fact.
Yeah. And it's daunting to think of what you don't know. I mean, we don't know what we don't know.
Right. Let's see here. The president is speaking live from the White House, so he hasn't left, obviously. That's a very long trip to China.
Yeah,
but if I had to do it, I'd like to do it on Air Force One.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the official meeting is the 14th, the 14th and 15th. So, but yeah, I
give him a little time to get settled in.
Yeah. Now I don't know what time zone they're on over there. So it might be the 13th over there already. I don't know.
I'm not going to look. I can look on my phone. I have it in there because I used to travel there, but I'm not going to look right now. Believe me, the television's networks and everyone will tell us. Let's see. Man charged in White House correspondence dinner attack pleads not guilty. Well, here's the thing that he's going to be found not guilty of, that he was trying to shoot the president specifically.
Oh, right.
That's my feeling. That's my gut feeling. I never went to law school. I was said to be pre-law at graduation from Michigan. But when I saw that they were going after him, finding him guilty for wanting to shoot the president, that's a long stretch from up on that floor laying face down to down on the floor. He was wanting to shoot a lot of people. I think it'll be harder to prove that he was specifically trying to shoot the president. And they shouldn't have to.
I was going to say, if he just showed up wanting to shoot anybody, he should
right.
be charged.
I mean, it shouldn't be any worse at that point. Prove that in a second. You don't show up running around with a shotgun and all that stuff. Anyway,
right.
More than 1.3 million Michiganders projected to travel for Memorial Day weekend. We'll be heading up to Grand Hotel and Mackinac Island for Sandy Baru Oz, a chamber policy conference. Let's see. It was the Arcadia mayor accused of being a Chinese foreign agent, strikes a deal with the feds and resigns. Get an FBI person on to talk about that. And Coachella threatens a Dearborn animal shelter over their upcoming Pawcella fundraiser.
Come on! Yeah.
Give me a break
Took
here. Took
the words out of my mouth.
JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermanni is coming, and I bet you are ready to go, my friend.
Loins are girded, Paul.
Woo-hoo!
I am totally jacked for today's show.
Well, you are totally jacked every day. I don't know anyone who brings more enthusiasm to their show than you, Ryan, and
you're
that's
the
a
best.
Fact.
Thank you, sir. You're the
All
best.
All right, we'll be listening, and we'll be enjoying, and we'll be learning. JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermanni. Stand by for news. Thanks to the team. You go on out. Continue to have a great day. Regards, Paul W. Smith.